welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am very grateful you chose to be with me for this May 23rd radio program. It's going to be, I don't want to say serious, but it's going to be to the point. We're dealing not only with the pandemic and the ending of it, maybe here in some form or another. I think we'll be living with it for a long, long time. But nonetheless, people are depressed, and they just can't be with themselves. They don't want to go on. We have had a lot of suicides. And all during the whole experience of all of this, I've been getting these little emails, and they've been from various people from, well, some places I know and most places I don't, people don't tell me. So I thought it would be kind of interesting to read some of them to you and to answer their questions. I am not a clinical psychologist, and nor am I, do I have the credentials for clinical therapy, but I do care very much about people. I have faced a lot of depression in students that I've had over my 50 years of working with them, various levels. So I do have an insight. I do have some experience in it. And I'm not a clinical guy. I mean, there are some things that can only be masked and utilized, as it were, if a person is really clinically depressed. And I am for medication for that, because there's nothing else that's going to change it. The chemicals in the body are off. My mother, when she was living in her body, was always depressed. So I understand the symptoms and all of the accoutrement, as it were, of depression. And of course, people want to know, will a spiritual practice take away my depression? It's like saying, will a zebra not have stripes anymore if I meditate? It's going to happen. It's going to be there. It's a condition of the physicality and biology of a person, and it is inherent oftentimes in their genetics. So there's so much to learn about depression, and I'm not here to make that depression go away. I think the very best a person can do is learn to understand it, learn how to keep it at bay, you know, and not indulge it. And that is a very, very difficult thing to do. And not many people want to do it or have the inner acuity to do it. But that doesn't mean it can't be done. That doesn't mean it shouldn't be done. And so we're going to go into three questions that I have chosen for this subject. And I take it very seriously when I look at people who are depressed. The first question comes from John in Portland, Oregon. What really matters in this world? And he goes into a litany. He just starts off the email that way. What really matters in this world? And he goes into the litany of the world and what's going on in it and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And please remember, this was written at the end of the Trump era of our country's greatest, in my opinion, difficulty, greatest challenge. And he was going into not only the pandemic, but the finances, and going into how people are. And the thing that's the killer about this one, he is only 20 years old. And so I want to preface all of that for you so you kind of have some background. He asks, what really matters in this world? John, it's very important to understand it's not what matters in this world that matters. It's what matters within you. It's what is important within you. What what is deeply important for you to live in, to move, to have your being in? What is important for you to do with your life and the rest of it? And how are you going to live in your life in this world? How are you going to deal with it? So it's more important how you deal with yourself, what you think of as yourself, than the world. And if you're looking to the world to make you happy, if you're looking to the world for a future, if you're looking towards the world for a purpose for living, I think you will find it very difficult. Some people find a niche. They have a talent, they have an ability, and they get into that niche of their talent and their ability, and they can carve out some kind of lifetime. Mostly it's about money, it's about fame and fortune, that kind of thing, as a counter to what's really going on in the world. If you look at what's going on in the world, and especially at the end of last year when Mr. Trump wasn't working at all, I don't think he ever really worked, but he wasn't really leading or being president, he kind of let all of this go. You know, he wanted to make it as bad as he could for Biden. And you start to see the ill will, you start to see the feelings of malice that people have for each other. And there are some people, John, that just want to see the city burn, the nation burn. They don't care. They're fed up with government, who isn't? But more than that, they are absolutely angry and hostile towards the idea of government. And they want life on their terms. They want the old West, blah, 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 blah. And all of that, you start to see that is being called individualism, which it isn't. It's just mass hysteria. And we miss the opportunity to help each other. So I don't know the state of your mind, and I can only presume from what I've read, you know, that you're 20 years old, you're looking at the world, you're wondering what the heck is going on, is there a place for someone like you in this world, and can it be meaningful? Now, I really assume you want meaning. This is a great Greg Penn assumption based on and predicated on his own bias. Most people, John, don't really care about the world. They care about themselves in the world. And they think that is the best way to go about living, just to be concerned about themselves and what they can get out of the world, not what they can give. What is it that John Kennedy said? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Those words, John, when I was a young person, and I was only 12 years old when that happened, I heard it. I heard the spirit of that. I heard what was meant by that. I'm going to say some things that may not be relative to the state of your condition. And please forgive me, without a thorough chat and without you getting some professional help, I'm just swimming around in the dark here. So forgive me if none of this works for you. One of the first things you can do in your life is stop thinking about yourself in this world and start thinking about what I can do that is beyond myself. What is it I can live, I can move, I can have my being in that is beyond the earthly concerns of my life? So I found that the best way to deal with all of this is through giving. Giving and forgiving. Being generous with people. Finding service to help people. To really help them. Not to placate them, not to make fun of them, but to actually help them. And what does that mean? What would it mean for you to help people? That's what you've got to find out. If you're going to find out what really matters in this world, you have to find out the level of your love. You have to understand that level of love. You have to be willing to commit to that level of love and beyond that level of love. And that means, what can I do to serve humankind? What can I do to help? Now, that's been a part of my motivation for the 50 years I've been basically a minister, quasi-teacher, quasi-whatever I am. Nobody seems to know. So I don't worry about labels. I worry about, how can I help? What can I do to serve? And I think you will find, if you have relatively a, what shall we say, even-based mentality, if you could look at your life from the point of view of helping people, not just helping yourself, you will find what matters in this world. It is love. And this love has to be greater than human love, because you're going to go out and you're going to try to help people and you're going to be sorely disappointed at the reactions you get from people. You are really going to get a lot of kickback, I promise you. So you're going to have some stamina. You're going to have to remove yourself from the emotionality of it all. And you're going to want a love that is greater than the love you want. That's the best way I can describe it. It takes a lot of effort and compassion. You have to be consistent, and you have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. Without those qualities, indeed, you will just fall through the cracks and become just another statistic of the culture that we live in. I should really say the society. I don't believe we have culture anymore. Not real culture. It's very sad. Anyway, there you are. Hope that helps you. If you want to talk, John, I am here for you. You just pick up the phone and call me. You have my number, and I will do everything I can to help you. I really will. Please forgive me. Namaste. It is very difficult to answer questions that are so broad without understanding the person that's asking the questions. The next one comes from Matt. He does not tell me where he lives. Can I understand the matter of my own life and what truly I am here for? The matter of your own life. That is a great question. What is the matter of your own life? What constitutes significance and meaning? What is it? What are we talking about here? How can you understand the real gravitas of your life when your mind and your body are not interested in the gravitas of a life? If you look at your mind and body, you'll see it just wants to run amok. When you're young and your chemicals are running freely and flowing through you, testosterone, estrogen, there's all sorts of chemicals running in us, forcing us to think in ways that may not be for our, shall we say, in-depth goodness, service to humankind, helping people. We just don't have it. And when I'm sitting there thinking about myself all day and what I want to do, what do I want to do? What should I do? I want to have fun, yada, 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 yada. All of that other stuff that we get involved in, we miss the meaning of our life and the significance of each and every moment that we're in. So you ask, how can I understand the matters of my own life and what matters? I can give you a formula. It was given to me, and it has worked all of my life. I hope that this penetrates your cynicism and your doubt. If it doesn't, If you don't get this, it will be, of course, worthless to you, and so will your life. Honestly, it will. Just another lifetime lived in futility. You live for those things, Matt, that you can take with you through death. That's what it's all about. Whatever you can take with you, you can take compassion, you can take understanding, you can take willingness, humility, you can take all sorts of beautiful aspects of spirituality, deep spirituality, and you can take that with you no matter where you go in this lifetime. Now, if you really want, you know, your question answered, if you really want to understand all of this, you'll have to live for those things that you can take with you through death. And probably the one thing that is more essential than any other is the accomplishment of love. Now, love is not a mental precept, concept. Love is not something that you accomplish like you would understanding mathematics. Love is a willingness to no longer be bound by the body and the precepts and the concepts of the human body and what it thinks of as morally right, morally wrong, good and bad. In other words, you would have to look at it from an entirely different point of view than the way you and I look at it currently, which is what gets me comfortable, what gets me secure, what makes me feel important, what makes me feel right, things like that. You have to let all that go. If you don't, if you just live according to what your body wants you to live by and the dictates of your body, you're not going to understand significance. And what is significant is whatever changes me from living out of my emotionality and from my human body into the spirit of my heart, authentic heart, and realizing the soul. There is nothing more fulfilling than realizing the soul, awakening to the soul, awakening to the goodness of the soul, and recognizing the presence of it within my being. In fact, to recognize that's what I'm here for, to maturate into the soul. It is only in the soul that I recognize love. So, you ask, can I understand the matters of my own life? You are here to live beyond your karma. You are here to live with your karma, to allow it to teach you how to live beyond it. There are many things that all of us have to face in our life. And as we face them with compassion and forgiveness, we start to see what is relative and relevant to our soul, to the state of the heart, to the meaning of our life in all of that. That is what is really important. But if I don't have that kind of insight or dedication or devotion, if I am not willing to be generous and let go of all of the things that I think make me a Gregory or make me feel special or make me feel wanted, whatever it is that you think, you will never, ever realize the matter of your life. Everybody's life has a point, a condition, and a consequence to it. Very few people discover it. But it has to be discovered. And ambition and pride usually oversee everything. And that is where the sorrow starts and really accentuates itself. So I think it's very, very important you get involved in love. And the only way to do that is through meditation, honestly. You start with the practice of living in a discipline that would reveal how to get out of the human experience and into the experience that you really are, love. I hope that helps you. I do. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question is from Ian. He does not tell me where he lives. He wrote a very long email for me to read. It was very interesting about his depression and where he's gone with it and how he's dealt with it. And then he ends, he said, what I want to hear from you, Greg, is I'm lost. Can I ever be found? Ian. If you allow your body to define you, if you allow your mind to direct you, if you allow your emotions to infect you, you will never know who you are. You will never know what you are. You will think that the who, which is the body and mind, is the totality of you. And it's running amok. It runs on its own juices, its own beliefs, its own theories. But if you can live beyond your body and beyond your mind, if you can live in the compassion of your heart, and really see how ruthless the human body can be. I mean, it is deeply ruthless. It wants what it wants when it wants it. And whatever it thinks is good, it wants more and more of it. It is ruthless in how it goes about getting it. It is ruthless in how it rationalizes our evil. It is a ruthless thing. And it is meant to be that way because of DNA. We are living out of our DNA, and that is a primitive thing, and we like doing it, so we just do it. We don't ever look and see, hey, what am I doing to myself? Hey, what am I doing to my soul? Hey, what am I doing to my heart? Am I living in love? Most people assume they are. Anything their mind condones is what they do. And the mind can condone many, many things, including the body. It can condone terrible acts, and we've seen it all throughout history. So this is nothing new, but it is the problem. So depending, Ian, on what you want, do you want to be found? You say you're lost. Do you really want to be found? Do you really want to be revealed? Do you really want to see things as they are? Do you really want to acknowledge that? Or are you just going to go about your living and try to hide and cover up what your body and your mind are telling you you have to do or must do or are the only things you can do? That's up to you. You have to make a decision. How exposed do I want to be to love? How exposed do I want to be in consciousness and self-realization? How exposed do I want to be? Do I want to, and am I willing to, let go of my human and sacrifice it for the divine that lives within? Now, it's hard to do when you don't know if the divine is there, if the beauty is there. You can't take my word for it. You have to find it for yourself. You have to find the direct experience. And people, teachers like myself, offer students the path to that. It is difficult and arduous for some. And for others, it's very simple and easy because they're ready to go. So you have to decide how you're going to risk being authentic. And if you're willing to let go of the things that aren't. That's the real question. You're going to need help. And I'm here if you need it. Thank you, Ian, for your beautiful question. Thank my audience for listening. Thank all of you. I am done for the weekend. We'll be back on the air next week. Ian, my audience, thank you. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.